You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and it's hour number two of the Roto Experts. Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Guys, just a couple of days away from Conference Championship Sunday, and it's amazing that yesterday we seemingly opened up this hour talking about Leonard Fournette's car accident and how Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were behind it and those evil Patriots.
And they got him back. And the Jaguars got him back. And listen, Tom Brady is wearing the red shirt in practice for a reason.
Correct.
So you don't get close to him. A player runs into him. He jams his hand.
So let's,
everybody in New England is saying it's okay.
So let's clarify that a little bit. So per a league source, this comes from Jim McBride of the Boston Globe, that per a league source, Tom Brady injured his right hand while making a handoff.
Really?
Practice.
Okay, I heard somebody ran into it.
So that was the initial report. Someone ran into it. I have a feeling he was, you know, obviously, he must have been going to this to his left is why he would hand it off with his right hand, I would think.
Yeah.
And it sounds like whoever he was handing it to, let's just blame Mike Gillisley, because that's probably Mike Gillisley.
That's why I'm on the practice squad.
It's probably Mike Gillisley that screwed this up. Injured his right hand. He suffered a cut, but x-rays were negative. And that's what we heard.
Yeah.
If I cut myself right now, I have a paper cut. I'm probably not going for an x-ray.
No. If you go for x-ray on a cut, it's that's not a cut, that's a gash.
Correct.
So this is a situation I think that's going to be interesting. And listen, I understand the greatness of the New England Patriots, the greatness of Tom Brady. This Jacksonville Jaguar team is ready for blood, and they're coming up there on a mission.
They're going to go out of your hand and stomp on it.
Yeah, they're going to try. Dante Fowler play for them. You will leave the game handless.
So unfortunately, this news broke too late for me to even get in contact with Dr. A about it, which I regret now very much. But I do have Pro Football Doc who broke it down for us.
Okay.
So Pro Football Doc said, listen, he basically likely jammed his head bad enough to have an open finger dislocation.
Whew, that's serious business.
He says, it is difficult, I'm reading directly from the article now in the San Diego Tribune, and it says, it is difficult to suffer a true laceration on a handoff, especially in practice. Although, if it were just a cut, you only need to just have an x-ray for a cut. Now, the main possibility, Matt, requiring an x-ray that could also cause a cut is an open finger dislocation.
That's a break.
In that case, the displaced finger joint would be so far out of place that it would tear the skin from the inside out.
So my question here is, how much money are we putting on the Jacksonville Jaguars money line?
Did it move?
I know, that's a good question. What was it yesterday?
I know a couple days ago it was like plus 375.
Oh, that's good. That was good right there. Jump on that.
Let's see.
What is it now?
Right now.
Is it off the board?
It's not off the board. I'm not looking at my bookie. I'm looking at a different site. Let's see. If I go to my bookie right now, you want to bet the Jaguars money line, it's plus 325.
So it dropped.
Dropped a little bit, plus 325.
Today's the day to get on that.
It absolutely is.
Let's pull some money together.
We're going to talk more about this injury. Pro Football Doc actually had a lot more to say. We'll break down Tom Brady and exactly what we have with that finger in that hand when we return on Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
So Tom Brady injures his hand or his finger, or both or whatever, on a handoff yesterday. Let me continue. Jeff Howe tweeted this. 4 days out, sources say Tom Brady's performance against the Jaguars shouldn't be his issue due to getting his hand jammed at practice. But of course, as long as the treatment goes according to plan, especially in the first 24 hours. So Pro Football Doc, again from the San Diego Union Tribune, he said the reference to 24 hours probably means of a possibility of an infection. As open dislocation of the proximal interphalangeal joint, the middle joint on the finger.
Very medical term, right?
Sorry. It's most common. The injury most frequently happens to the pinky or ring finger, which would be the least troublesome for a quarterback.
Yeah.
So ultimately, if it's Tom Brady's pinky, he's fine. If it's his ring finger...
Do we know what finger it is? Or
He's fine. If it's the other three, certainly the thumb would be a disaster, obviously. Yeah.
Grip the football.
And the pointer, the index finger, would be the second biggest disaster. Now... finger dislocations through the skin, evidently they happen all the time. J.J. Watt had one earlier this year and came back and played that game.
J.J. Watt not a quarterback.
No, he's not. If it's on his throwing hand, which I think we're all kind of assuming it is, because it wouldn't be a story if it's not, it's going to be an issue. If it's the pinky or that ring finger, they'll tape it up and it means nothing because all the grip is on those first three fingers anyway. So it means nothing where those last two fingers are. So if it's there, like, it's totally no big deal. And the pain, it's going to go away. You'll give him a shot. You'll be fine.
Yeah, the pain is not the problem. The problem is when you get into the in-game action, what's going to happen.
Correct. The function on those function of the finger is going to be fine. But if it's the thumb or the index finger or the middle finger, it's an issue.
And then, see, that now here's the thing with injury reporting. You got to understand we're dealing with the New England Patriots here.
Correct.
They're not really going. They're going to give you at least... As less as possible. So I, of course, obviously today is Thursday. So of course, Bill Belichick will more than likely address the media today. He'll say nothing. Be very coy about it. They won't challenge him on it because they're scared of him. I don't think Tom Brady will probably talk again this week. If he does, it'll probably be on Saturday.
So he didn't talk yesterday either because of this injury. He was getting an X-ray. The question will be if he's practicing today. Because if he's practicing today. It would be surprising, Matt, to me, if the Patriots have all of his fingers taped up. So you have no idea which one it is.
And then he'll just have a big mitt on
his have a glove. He'll wear a glove.
Either that, or then you just have a situation where he'll be out there on the field for the part of practice that the media can watch. And then when the media leaves, he'll leave.
I'll tell you one thing. There's going to be many candles being lit in Massachusetts and Texas for Tom Brady's speedy recovery. This could be a nothing thing, but this could be a significant thing. The fact that we don't know what finger it is the main mystery.
Yeah. And then, we're speculating on it because we had enough to do. kind of our thing.
There was a great tweet yesterday about Tom Brady because the Jaguars had the number 2 scoring defense. And he's faced the number 2 scoring defense 3 times in the playoffs, 3-0 with a pass rating of 100 or more.
And there you go right there.
Now the question will become, how serious is this finger injury? What finger it was to? And now all eyes, as the Pro Football Doc says, it's going to be a where is that tape? If you can tell, what is bandaged up? Will they show you anything? Will he speak? Those are the questions you're going to have to ask. Those are what you're going to have to look for at Patriots practice today.
Yeah, I think the situation where nobody goes out and addresses the media except for Belichick. Do they do the conference call with the other teams, with the other cities' media?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Because that's normally done on a Thursday, but I'm not sure in this situation. So, listen, they're going to be coy with it. I would bet the money line.
you can do just that if you'd like.
And they don't have Garoppolo to back them up now either.
Brian Hoyer is the backup in New England now.
Brian Hoyer can run that offense, but not against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No.
Not in the AFC Championship.
No.
Brian Hoyer, Super Bowl 52 MVP.
Can you imagine that? That's the Patriot way, though, unfortunately.
It is. It obviously is. Some other headlines from yesterday outside of Tom Brady and the potential injury there.
This is the biggest story in fantasy football.
Tom Brady?
No, not Tom Brady. Todd Haley.
Todd Haley, indeed. Yeah, so Todd Haley gets fired from Pittsburgh or is not asked back, as we kind of assumed.
Parted ways.
Parted ways. Mutually, of course. Mutually parting of the ways. And as we surmised yesterday on our very show, this dude Randy Fichtner is going to be promoted.
Yeah.
Now, we knew this. We saw this coming.
This
before,
is exactly
before Todd
what
Haley was retired.
Now, here's the thing about it is, listen, Greg, if you take off tomorrow, I'm coming here and host the show.
Correct.
I'm not going to do the same show as you.
You will not.
There you go.
You probably won't mention the word baseball.
But you see what I'm trying to say. No matter how much Fickner is going to say in this offseason that he's going to run the same offense, he's going to. It's not going to be the same.
Correct.
And so now you have to start. Now you have to take into consideration the talent of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, and then you got to take into consideration the scheme.
So I think this is a little bit different than what we saw in Atlanta, though, to be fair. Mm-hmm. Because, right, because I know that's what everyone freaks out about, but Steve Sarkisian didn't come from this staff with Kyle Shanahan. Randy Fickner's been the quarterback coach or with the Steelers for, like, all of Ben's time in Pittsburgh, which is good. The other side of that is the Oakland example, where they promoted the quarterback's coach, Todd Downing, and it all went to hell.
Well, here's the difference for me as well, is that Ben is going to be there, and I think... What would you rather have, Todd Haley returning or Ben Roethlisberger?
You want
returning?
Ben Roethlisberger.
I want Ben back. Ben is going to get the ball to AB. I don't care who the hell the offensive coordinator is. We know Le'Veon Bell is going to be Le'Veon Bell, get the opportunities, as long as he re-signs with Pittsburgh, which I can't see that.
They're
going
to franchise him again, and he is going to
be angry.
He's going to be very angry about that.
I think they're going to come to some sort of agreement.
You think so?
I think they kind of understand that. You know, they can't have it. I mean, if he decides to sit out and stuff, and say, look, I'm not playing on this deal. Which I wouldn't blame him.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it's too dangerous.
At this point, you know, especially coming, he had the two knee injuries in the past. He needs to get paid now. Now is the time. So if he was to, say, franchise him and he was to sit out, I would totally support that. Of course, the man needs to be paid and needs to be paid.
I mean, this is a running back in the AFC North.
The only person you can see increasing their workload in Pittsburgh is Juju. That's the only person you can see.
So I think what we're going to see, I do think, given that it's the quarterback coach being the offensive coordinator, I think Ben gets a little more freedom, which is crazy for a 36-year-old dude. But I think Ben's going to get more freedom now to not be nearly as rigid. I think if he wants the quarterback sneak it on 4th-and-1, it'll probably be allowed to quarterback sneak
it. Yeah, because you bring the QB coach in, like you said, that's been there with him forever. That guy's going to know Haley's stuff. That guy's going to know the system. So Ben is really going to become the offensive coordinator at this point.
Basically, the difference here is Sarkisian had head coaching jobs. He was offensive coordinator in some
multiple occasions,
So he was a guy that was brought in to run his offense.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
You're right. Here,
this guy is the quarterback's coach. This is his, you know, first time. This is his first big shot. So I don't think he's going to really divert much from Todd Haley's scheme. That's what I would think. That could obviously change, but the fact that you have this veteran in Ben and this guy that's been there, I don't think there's going to be a radical swift. And look, Haley really helped Ben as much as they hate each other and all that. And people, as we know, widely do despise Todd Haley.
So why didn't it work in Oakland so much? Like, why did Todd Downing was so terrible?
But you got to look at the situation. Yeah. Look at the talent of the players, too, has to be taken into consideration in this. There's nobody in Oakland, you know, outside of Amari Cooper, that's as talented as the pieces in Pittsburgh.
Sure. I mean, look, it's not Ben Roethlisberger. If you put Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown in Oakland, I think it's a different outcome.
What happened to Todd Haley, gentlemen? Where does Todd Haley end up? Now, coincidentally or not.
Yeah, there you go. So another OC got fired yesterday.
The Jets fired offensive coordinator John Morton, and it's amazing what leaks out after the fact. So we had heard a couple of weeks ago that John Gruden wanted John Morton to be his offensive coordinator, and all the Jets fans are like, no, we want him to stay,
There's no reason to fire Morton.
John Gruden goes with Greg Olsen instead, the quarterback, the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, not the tight end for the Carolina Panthers.
And all the Jets fans are like, whew, John Morton stays. Yesterday, John Morton gets fired, and it leaks out in the media. He had issues with players. He had issues with coaches. He wasn't amenable to things. People didn't get better. I'm like, wait a minute. 2 weeks ago, you were desperate not to lose this guy. Now you fire him?
This guy did more with less, and you know, it was really, hey, I don't get it. I don't see what the Jets did. I don't get this move at all. So, you know, that's the Jets. That's Jets in a nutshell.
When are they going to go hire Todd Haley? That's what they're going to do. They're going to go hire Todd. They're either going to hire Todd Haley. My thought process with that move yesterday, as soon as I saw that, the Jets are going to go hire Todd Haley and try to bring Kirk Cousins in there.
You see, I was thinking that the only thing, the problem with Arizona is Fitzgerald. I was thinking he'd want to go to.
No. I mean, Fitzgerald's not going to have Todd Haley. Not this late in his career. He can call a shot.
Absolutely not.
Nobody in New York can call a shot.
Now, did Todd Haley and Todd Bowles work together in Arizona? Were they there together?
I'm not sure. I have to look that up.
They probably weren't. Bulls might have come after. But I think there's a connection there. There's probably a connection there. Would it be crazy to think Bruce Arians is like, you know what, I'll go coach with you, Todd Bowles. I'll go be your offensive coordinator.
Tony Sincotta says he's going to be in New England.
Bruce Arians.
No, Haley.
Really? That's really interesting.
Tom Brady is not put up with that crap.
Tom Brady is like, man, don't bring that dude in here. It's either me, him, or Gucci.
Bring some more avocados.
We'll take a break. Dr. Ray will join us next. Baseball and basketball injuries. We'll talk about that with him next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, alongside Wall Street and the executive. It's now time for our good friend, our bud, down there, still upset about the loss, of course, of his Georgia Bulldogs. It's Dr. Ray. What's going on, Doc?
I was afraid you guys bring that up, but I'm still I'm very happy about that banner in 1980.
There you go, right there. I was 7 back then, Doc.
I wasn't even a thought.
Yes, I know. We're still in mourning, you know, after last year's Falcons Super Bowl loss and this year's Falcons loss to the Eagles, and then the Georgia National Championship this year being so close. I think we won't be ready until this summer, I think, to talk about it.
Doc, I would be in a state of sedation at this point.
I noticed a common word that Doc was talking about: loss, loss, loss.
You know, today it's interesting. Today on the frenzy, when we do our Mount Rushmore, we're going to do Atlanta because it's TI Thursday, and I was thinking that's going to be kind of tough to put together outside of like
Hank Aaron.
I didn't think about Hank Aaron. That's a good one. And I'll just say it's going to be a lot of Braves on that, but that's coming up on the fantasy.
Is Hank Aaron not in Milwaukee though?
He was in Milwaukee, but you know, he played for Atlanta.
All right, Doc. Before we get to some of the NBA players and the MLB players we want to talk about, the big story today is Tom Brady. And Tom Brady hurts his hand at practice yesterday. He was handing the ball off, and someone ran into him. And they're saying, oh, he hurt his hand or his finger or something, but he had to have an X-ray, and, oh, he's going to be fine. It's no big deal. What's really the story with Tom Brady?
Well, I mean, you know, when you jam a finger, X-rays are negative, so that's good. So we eliminated a fracture. You know, there's usually some swelling with a particular finger. Again, they haven't announced, I don't believe they've announced which finger it is. They just talk about it being a hand injury. And remember, we actually had this before. As we get further away from the thumb, the fingers become less and less important, you know, when it comes to throwing a football. So one of the things is that if it's his index finger or his middle finger, then, you know, then I would be concerned a little bit about his ability to throw a longer pass, you know, by the time this weekend comes around. However, you know, this is Tom Brady. This is the New England Patriots. You know, he was listed as limited practice and questionable for the game. Obviously, we know that that's not true at all. Honestly, this only has dipped his metrics a little bit. It's inconsequential. His metrics will be back at, you know, low injury risk and basically at peak health for the game. So we are predicting that this is not really a concern unless we hear some information, and we're trying to get it right now to see if it's actually his index finger. If it's his index finger, then there's a little bit of concern of the deep ball or maybe the 25-yarder or more pass. But, you know, again, I don't think this will affect him really anything significantly.
So it's kind of like we were saying before here, Corey, right? That like we don't know which finger it is when we have more information on the finger. That will kind of be the solution. That will kind of answer our questions. But as Dr. A says, the index finger, even if it is that, as kind of is being speculated on, it'll affect the deep ball, which could be more Danny Amendola, could be more James White. But ultimately, Brady should be fine.
Yeah, ultimately, and that's what it's looking like. So I still would put something on that Jacksonville money line before that moves today. All right, Doc. Here we go. Let's do some more. Hey, you know what? One of the best young arms in baseball, Doc. Alex Reyes coming back off this UCL. What do we think? Is he going to be ready for opening day?
Yeah. So Alex Reyes, he had a. I'm actually running through all of my MLB guys. There we go. All right. So he had grade four surgery, a Tommy John surgery. You know, these surgeries take more than a year to heal. You know, he had this injury and he had the surgery in February of 17. And right now, he's still at high injury risk and poor health performance factor. The main reason why is these things typically take 14 to 15 months to completely come back from. So he's still about 90 days away. He's not going to be, you know, ready for spring training or opening. he may be ready for opening day, but if he doesn't have that rehab and the practice in spring training. So I would say that you're still looking at a end of April, May timeframe for him to come back.
Hey, Doc, sticking with baseball here, let's talk about the Mets version of Bryce Harper, Michael Conforto. Look, this is the franchise bat for this team, and it seemed like he suffered a really severe injury last year. I'm here in early May, but I'm nervous to even touch this guy this year.
Yeah, so this is the thing that you have to consider. When someone has a dislocated shoulder and gets operated on, that's a lot worse than just a dislocated shoulder. You typically don't operate on a dislocated shoulder. You relocate the shoulder, they rest, they reduce the inflammation, and they sort of get back into the lineup. The problem when you have surgery is that there could be a host of other issues when you have surgery. It could be a fracture, it could be a labral tear, it could be also even a rotator tear. It could be one of those or all three of those. And so the biggest issue is he likely had one or two of these other worsening factors that are associated with that dislocated shoulder. But the thing that's really bringing him down is that he's had five injuries in 2017, including this one. He also had thumb, hand, back, and hamstring injuries in 2017. For a guy to have five separate individual injuries in 2017, statistically, you should not, you know, pick him in your fantasy lineup, because the likelihood of having at least two or three injuries next season is very high.
And Doc, say he does come back, there's no setbacks, he's back in early May as the Mets are optimistically reporting. The power aspect of his game, though, this should suffer, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the good news is that his hamstring and his back injury, you know, were not too severe. They were minor. However, you're right. His batter power obviously right now is weak, and, you know, if he has a minor injury, it will significantly go down. So you're taking a big risk with him. His batter power will probably get back to normal, okay, because he's recovered from all these injuries for that brief period of time. But if he has another minor injury, which is a high likelihood to happen, then that batter power goes way down, and, you know, you're sort of stuck with him at that point. So, you know, he's an extremely high risk of injury type player, and those injuries will significantly impact his ability to play on the field.
So with that, what Dr. A just said, Matt, where are people taking Michael Conforto, and where should he be going? Where do you feel comfortable, all that?
He's starting to fall down. He was going maybe like in that 10th round or even a little higher, but I'm seeing him fall back now to maybe the 12th, 13th. I personally can't take him there in a draft champions right now. I'd have to get a severe discount. It would have to be like the very late teens, maybe early 20s. I don't, you know, if he comes back, I've seen it before with the shoulder injuries. It scares the hell. Look, I'm a Met fan. This kid was the one silver lining for this franchise. And to watch him go down on that swing was just heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was very, very sad for sure. So there you go. That's the deal.
The Mets can't have nice things.
No, the Mets can't. The Mets can't have these guys. All right. We're talking to Dr. Ray, Inside Injuries. Oh, of course, he's our guy. He's been our guy all year long, and we are excited for that to continue. Sticking with the baseball theme, a name that my BFFs wanted me to ask you about was Jimmy Nelson, who says that, hey, the progress of my injury is coming along fantastically. I'm getting stronger and going faster than I ever believed. When will Jimmy Nelson be back, and what do we expect from him going forward?
So the good news out of him is that he started to throw on Friday, which is an incredible, you know, when you have a grade 4 shoulder injury and you had shoulder surgery, and this one actually he had a labral tear with it and likely had a small fracture. The very fact that you can start throwing after 4 months is a four to four and a half months is an incredible accomplishment. He must be way ahead of his rehab, you know, assignment. So I think because of that news, it actually has increased our metrics on him a little bit. He's still at high injury risk and, you know, below average HPF, but he's not at poor. So he's escalated. And, you know, likelihood in the next 4 to 8 weeks, if he doesn't have any setbacks, then that HPF will continue to rise to above average and peak. We expect him, you know, because originally he was expected to be back sometime in April or May, but we're looking now that it could be late February, early March.
Wow, that's a huge change.
That is. I mean, this was one of the best breakout pitchers last year.
Absolutely.
He really was, so that's encouraging.
But we have to be very careful. You know, one of the things where you're talking about that he's throwing earlier than expected. It's like one of those, and I don't want to bring up Andrew Luck, but you can really easily suffer a setback, you know, and cause more damage. So I'm questioning, because of the type of surgery, why they would allow him to throw at this early. But if he's truly, truly that healed already and ahead of schedule, it can happen. Some people's genetics are better than others. And so, you know, so we have to really watch to see if he has a setback. Because if he does have a setback, unfortunately, it's going to be one of those things that we're talking about June, July, August. So we have to be very careful. And obviously, they have to be very careful.
All right, Doc, I'm going to get change it up a little bit here. I want to ask you about the male Kardashian. That is the big ball of brands, Lonzo Ball. Doc, are you a LeVar Ball fan, Doc?
I am not a LeVar Ball fan. I think, you know, anybody sort of in the professional, you know, technical services industry is not really a LeVar Ball fan being a physician. But, you know, look, everybody has a right in this country to do what they want, and he is doing what he wants to do. So, Lonzo Ball has a left knee sprain. It's a soft tissue knee sprain. It's not even a grade one, so that's really inconsequential. It's a 1 week optimal recovery time. You know, he had a grade one shoulder sprain in December, which he recovered from. You know, so I don't think that these injuries are a significant impact to his ability to play. After this week, if he's left out for at least a week and rests, his HPF will go back to above average to peak. So right now it's high and below average, mainly because he's just literally had this knee sprain and he needs a week, a little more than a week to recover. So if that happens, he'll be back up to above average peak and this injury won't really impact him.
Doc, we have a whole bunch more players left. Are you cool sticking around for another few minutes?
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right, we're gonna head to break now. A couple more pitchers I know that Matt and I wanted to ask about. A whole lot of basketball players and we want to ask about with my waivers running today, my basketball league, so you kind of need to know who to pick up. So we'll talk to Dr. Ray on the other side. A lot more to come. Tom Brady stuff was more important. We had to get that in there. So Dr. Ray, he'll stick around. We'll be back on the Roto Experts right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back back with Dr. Ray here on Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Doc, a lot of baseball injuries. A lot of pitchers in particular who are coming back from injuries. That's why we wanted to break it down for you here. And we talked yesterday on the show, Matt and I, about Danny Duffy. And there's some DUI concern with him, but he wound up getting some community service and some probation. But the injury was the concern with us with Danny Duffy, as he had some elbow issues back toward the end of the year last year. What's the latest on Danny Duffy from an injury perspective?
Yeah, so this is actually a double elbow injury from last year, because he did stop pitching because of inflammation in his elbow right after the All-Star break. And then he underwent surgery in late September to remove loose bodies from his pitching elbow. And I just want to give everybody a little bit of a teaching lesson on loose bodies. So what happens with loose bodies is that when you have a constant wear and tear of a particular joint, small pieces of debris or cartilage, or sometimes when you develop early osteoarthritis or there's some bone that gets overgrown, breaks off a little bit, falls into the joint, and then starts to get inflamed around it. And that's what a loose body is. And it happens quite a bit with pitchers, because you just think about the wear and tear that happens to their elbow. So in order to, then it's significantly painful, and you don't have range of motion, and obviously it impacts your ability to perform. So they remove those. But if they're clean and they can just remove them and do that, it's fine. But if they have a significant amount of inflammation, or if there's like some sort of complicating feature like being attached still to the bone, then the surgery becomes a lot more complicated. Now, the good news is that, for him, is that his metrics have shown that he's back to from a 38% injury risk to 16%. So his recovery from what we've been scraping has gone pretty well. And he's very close to being above average at this stage right now. So for all intents and purposes, he should be ready for spring training. And if he doesn't have any setbacks, he should be ready to go for opening day from this injury standpoint.
And with Dr. Day was talking about with loose bodies, I knew that. I knew that was what loose bodies was debris.
Great.
Yep. Just letting you know.
No, but I think that was great that Doc went over that.
Yeah.
Everybody hears this term. It's, very prevalent around. We hear loose bodies. We hear the elbow. And once you hear elbow, people freak out.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons, like a guy like last year, Jacob DeGrom, I'm not saying the same thing, but it's not every time they do something, it's like it's going to take a year to recover.
Oh, that makes sense. Whose turn is it to ask the question? Mine?
You could go.
And Corey, I knew you knew that, and I appreciate you letting me explain.
No problem, Doc. I got you covered. Let's talk a little pigskin. Not pigskin. It's kind of so sad that's gone now, Doc. J.J. Redick, what's up with him?
So, J.J. Redick has actually a grade 3 injury. He has a hairline fracture that's not initially seen on x-rays. You can only see this on MRI. So, yes, he has a hairline fracture in the fibular head of his left leg. So the fibula is that thin bone that's next to the tibia in your lower leg. And the head of the fibula is right next to the knee joint, just on the outside and just below it. And there's a hairline fracture right there. In basketball players, everything is lower extremity. There's a lot of force running through the tibia and fibula. So that thing has to heal 100%. Otherwise, if you play on it and it's not completely healed, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So he's likely out for, our optimal recovery time for this is between 8 to 10 weeks. So, I don't see him being on the court. They said at least 10 days. But, be prepared that in about 10 days, they're going to announce that he won't be back for another month and a half to basically 2.5 months. And if he does, he's taking an incredible risk of worsening that injury.
Hey, Doc, let's go back to baseball real quick, and let's touch on another pitcher. A guy that's been an exciting arm for us. People have been, speculating on would make that next step, but it seems injury after injury has derailed him. Carlos Rodon, what's the expectations here? I know he's supposed to miss the start of the season, but when should we expect him?
Okay, so initially, when he had reported of shoulder surgery to relieve bursitis, that's, I mean, no surgery is simple, but when it comes to simple surgeries to relieve bursitis, you know, you do what's called a bursectomy. I mean, you basically remove the bursa is essentially a cushion, a fluid filled cushion pad that you have, everyone has around their joint to basically allow the joint to move, etc. And, you know, when it gets inflamed, then it doesn't provide that comfort and then it causes a lot of pain. So just to remove it, I mean, you basically just remove it. It's kind of a simple surgery. But the problem is that he underwent surgery and his initial recovery time was 6 to 8 months. So even though the team is not telling us this, our algorithms automatically thought it was a grade 4 injury because you can't miss 6 to 8 months to relieving bursitis. So he likely has some other injury in that shoulder that we're not being told about. And his optimal recovery time at that point was about 30 weeks at that point. So if you think about it, you know, 30 weeks is about five months. The team is saying 6 to 8 months. Guys, he has a pretty significant shoulder injury or some sort of problem within that shoulder. So it's not looking good. I don't know exactly because the team is being very, very hush-hush. We're trying to get some information from this, but do not expect him to be back before May.
There you go. Don't expect him to be back before May.
Don't draft him.
Carlos Rodon.
Yeah, more or less don't draft
him. Listen, Carlos Rodon always has these injuries and they pile up. And Dr. Ace talked about it, that it's just like there's always something going on with this guy. And it's like, don't draft him.
I kind of like the bursa talk. That's the infamous bursa sack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Miles Turner's a guy that also has had a lot of injuries this year in the NBA. As a Domantas Sabonis owner, I'm cool with it, right? It's worked out really, really well for me. He's already been ruled out for a 4-game road trip for the Pacers. When can we expect to see Miles Turner back on the court?
All right. So, you know, so he injured his elbow on a dunk a week ago. So at least he had a dunk when he injured his elbow.
You know, scored 2 points.
Which is savage. Actually... it's pretty impressive. You know, normally you don't injure your elbow on a dunk. And so, the good news is that it's a grade 1 injury, so he's not going to require surgery. Probably just a very mild ligament or tendon sprain in that elbow. But it is an optimal recovery time of 3 weeks. The biggest issue is that this is one of those guys who has a lot of these ticky-tack injuries over the course of the season. I don't know if you guys, because it's our job, it's our lifeblood to track these things, but he already had thigh, calf, knee, ankle, and a concussion this season, in one season.
Yep.
So he will, even if he recovers from this injury, we've had him always at high injury risk and below average. This is adding to, you know, the list of injuries that he has. He'll recover from this elbow injury, but again, he remains through the whole season at high injury risk and below average performance factor.
I'm pinwheeling. Hold on 1 second.
I'll continue on. It's a big deal. So there you go. That's the deal with Miles Turner. A guy that hasn't played at all this season, but it looks to be on his way back, is Jabari Parker with the Bucks. And the Bucks are having a nice year seeing Giannis improve, acquiring Eric Bledsoe, Chris Middleton totally healthy. But they haven't gotten their big three of Middleton, Giannis, and Jabari Parker on the court for a sustained period of time. But Parker looks to be making progress, and he's like, hey, I may be back before the All-Star break. Is that realistic, or are we looking at a little bit later? But Jabari Parker.
No, I mean, we're right in line with that thinking. Our algorithms are showing that he's at 15% injury risk, which is, 13% is at low. So he's progressing very, very nicely. He's already back up to 87% HPF. So he's close to 90%, at HPF. He's progressing very nicely. His basketball quickness score is fast. So all of those things are indicating that he's progressing very well. And we think that if he wants to be, and he can be, he will be returning in early February.
How about that? Jabari Parker coming back real soon.
There you go.
Yeah, the thing about him, the thing I worry about, he seems like he's always going to be beat up, though. That's just the way it's looking to me right now with Jabari. So I don't know.
Well, one comment on that, Corey, is the fact that he's taught, nobody wants to tear an ACL. But the fact that the technology of ACL repair is so good now that if all he does is tear his ACL and doesn't have any other type of injuries, he will miss an extensive part of a season, but he will recover very, very well.
So let me ask you this then, Doc. If we've seen advances in ACL tears, how come we haven't seen advances in UCL tears, that surgery? Like, why is Tommy John still like a 18-month thing?
Well, so one of the biggest things about that is that there's a significant amount of torque that's put on the UCL. And so that force alone, not just an up and down, a little bit of twist force, but there is a significant amount of torque put on the ulnar collateral ligament. And, it's such a finesse type of injury for pitchers, because if they lose even 2 miles an hour on their fastball or a little bit of break, they become basically a non-important pitcher. Yeah. And so the finesse and the sensitivity of that is because the results. He could be completely healed in the UCL, but it's because of the results of being able to perform is so much more sensitive than the ACL, because in the knee, when you repair that ACL and it's strong and it's taut and all the other ligaments are fine, it's not as sensitive as a UCL injury for a pitcher.
There you go. Dr. Ray, it's been awesome to have you on here. So long today. You really helped us out. And there we go. That was great.
You can come back on the frenzy today if you want to.
We'll do it again next week, Doc. We appreciate the time. Take a break. Matt and I will come and talk about a closer. That's kind of interesting when we come back.
And I'll tell you, stay tuned. We're doing injury breakdown on every team in the NFL playoffs.
There you go. We'll be back right after this.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
So we're back here on Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's been a fun show today.
It's been a really fun show.
Matt, I wanted to ask you quickly. We talked about Matt Conforto a little bit earlier. You kind of gave us a breakdown on him, what we could expect. For those that missed it, why don't you do that again?
Yeah, no, look, I love the guy. Being a Met fan, I'm not even being biased here. You know, we had to watch this guy sit versus lefties.
Yep. And
it wasn't like this team was rolling out. We didn't have Cespedes and all this. So that frustration finally passes. We start to see the breakout yep. happen. And then on a swing, he has this devastating injury.
Mm-hmm.
And with pitchers, elbow, shoulder, I kind of stayed away.
Right.
You know, as great as Jimmy Nelson was, and he was one of the breakout pitchers of 2017, even if he's ahead of schedule, I'm really not drafting him. So with Conforto, they're saying early May. And we talk about injury optimism.
And the Mets.
And the Mets, too. So this is saying he doesn't have any setbacks whatsoever, which he'd probably have a setback or two. And even if he did come back May 1st, the power is probably going to be sapped somewhat. It's not like Conforto's a guy that's going to steal you 20 bases. So you could say, well, you know what, at least I'll get stolen bases here. What I've learned is when you start taking guys that are going to miss the first month or the first 6 weeks of a season, they kind of tie down your whole roster. Because you get to the point where, okay, I can't cut them. I've held them for a month. And you miss it on other guys. And even if they come back, they're not the player that you were expecting them to be. Even factoring in the shortened season and those projections you make up, however that works out, it's just there's other guys there. And I hope Conforto comes back the day he's supposed to be ready and hits 30 home runs in a shortened season. But I got to be realistic here. You know, you're playing to win. You got to take away your allegiances and your fandom on certain things if you really want to be subjective and you really want to win. So as much as I love the guy and I think he would have been a really nice outfielder this year if 100% healthy, he's not. And like EY would say, with regards to Andrew Luck, he's not a football player. Right now, Michael Conforto is not a baseball player. And that wasn't just, you know, a small injury. It was a serious injury he undertook. And It was a shame watching him on that.
So is Michael Conforto off your draft board?
Pretty much. Okay. I mean, the discount's not there. The 12th, 13th round is not a discount.
For right.
Him. I mean, it's got to be like 20th round.
So he's for the most part off Matt Modica's draft board here. Brad Siegel is an interesting name. He's the closer for the Miami Marlins. He came out yesterday and he's like, yeah, so that first half where I was terrible, I had like a major injury. I got a major, major injury. And then I got shut down for a few weeks. I was able to get healthy. And that's the real me. That's the pitcher that I am. He's going to open the season as a Marlins closer if he doesn't get traded. Now, why he won't get traded, I have no idea. How safe do you think Brad Ziegler is to draft? Because if he gets traded, there's a good chance he doesn't get traded somewhere. He's going to be the closer. He's a veteran. He's in his late 30s at this point. Would it make more sense to draft someone like Kyle Barraclough instead of a Brad Ziegler? What do you think about that?
I really don't want either one, to be honest. Okay. I know everybody loves Barraclough for the strikeouts. Here's the thing with Ziegler. He's going to be the closer because he's getting like $8 million this year.
Right.
So they want to move him. They want him to be effective, and they want to move him.
Definitely.
And the thing with Barraclough is you can't be walking 5 per 9
right.
and be effective. You just can't. He's consistently done that. We haven't seen the improvement. So strikeouts are great. But when you put men on base and you're going to be a supposed shutdown closer, it's not going to happen.
We're going to take a break here. Brad Ziegler is somebody that Matt Modica ultimately doesn't trust, I think for good reason, because he's right. As soon as he starts playing well, he's out of there. And then you're going to have to deal with, you're literally drafting yourself into a situation that you're going to have to amend. And that's just not worth it, probably. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Hit on the top headlines. We'll get back into Todd Haley and John Morton and a lot more. It's Roto Experts, 2 hours down. One more to go.